We got a brand new series. I always love beginning a new series. I really hate to say goodbye to Moneyology. I had a lot of fun and a lot of good feedback. But I'm happy to start this series called Fear Less, Live More. And here's where the title came from. Several years ago, you probably have a t-shirt. This movement was sweeping the country, t-shirts, everything. And the mantra was simply, no fear. Ever buy a t-shirt? Had no fear? Maybe you have a t-shirt, no fear. Well, if you have a t-shirt that says no fear, God bless you. But don't wear it out in public. That's the dumbest thing any human's ever said. Anyone who has no fear is dead. Just write it down. Fear is not a bad thing if it keeps you out of the middle of I-40. Amen? If fear takes you to the doctor, fear is a good thing. If fear keeps your hand off of a hot stove, fear is a good thing. So we're not, it's not no fear, it's fearless so we can live more. Now, as we go through and develop, we're going to talk about these 8 major fears. But as we go through, the whole purpose is to get through life in one piece. So anytime during this journey, I say, how you doing? You guys are going to say with full bravado and confidence, even if you have to lie, God will forgive you if you start tithing. You will say, still in one piece, right? Okay. Now, if we're leaving and I say to you, how you doing? Don't say, I'm doing good. No, say, I'm still in one piece. Or I'll pray against you and you don't want that. Right? How you doing? There you go. Very good. So let's start on this journey with 3 statements. 1, we all have cosmetic fears. Those are the fears that we might not be dressed appropriately for where we're going. You know, their hair is not done. We got a booger in our nose or something like that. And, you know, you constantly, if you're a guy, the fear of losing your hair, really, seriously, it ain't that bad. Let me tell you right now. Have you heard these commercials? Oh, my life was just terrible. My wife didn't love me and my dog hated my guts. But now that I have a big rug on top of my head, Velcroed on, my life is turned around. Any problem you have that hair will fix, your life sucks, dude. Seriously. Really? But we all have our fears, and I understand. You know, for me, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I put my kids through school and the money I've saved on shampoo and hairspray. Huh? So, you know, if that bothers you, then go for it. I probably have my petty fears that you would laugh at. We have cosmetic fears. We also have cultural fears. That's the fear that we are not going to fit in whatever environment we're in. For example, if you are from the North or any other part of the world, for that matter, in the South, we have a particular culture, right? For example, in the South, if you were to ask us, how you doing? We will say, I'm fine. We're lying, but we know you don't care. So we will say, I'm fine, right? If we want to gossip about somebody, if we want to criticize somebody, we don't openly criticize people in the South. What we say is, bless your heart. See? If we want to gossip and get God's approval, we always begin the diatribe with, I'm just telling you this so you can pray. Liar, liar, pants on fire. There are cultural fears. But then there are core fears. They're true for everyone, everywhere, in every generation. And if someone were to ask me, through all of your experience, your own life experience, and the experience that you've had with others, is there a core fear? And I think the closest thing we come to a single core fear is the fear of rejection. The fear that somehow we are not enough. That we're never going to know enough. We're never going to be good looking enough. We're never going to be thin enough. We're never going to, you know, we're never going to have enough. We're not going to ever really, you know, enjoy and embrace the life that we know we were created to have. So let's deal with this fear, the fear of rejection. Psalm 34 was written by David after the great scandal of his life, the great cover-up of adultery. And as he came clean, he gives this praise to God. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of his kindness to me. That word kindness in the Hebrew is the word chesed, which means faithful love. God is a promise keeper. In the New Testament, the equivalent to this word chesed or kindness is grace. So grace is introduced in the Old Testament, and David talks about the grace that God has given him in the light of his moral failure. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. This is why we sing before at the beginning of every service. This is a part of worship. For I cried to him and he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears. Others too were radiant at what he did for me. There's no downcast look of rejection. Wow. Wouldn't it be great if we lived this with it? Our whole life was just an expression of joy. If someone were to say to us, how you doing? We'd say, still in one piece, baby. Still in one piece. Nothing shaking me. Life, death, good, bad. Still in one piece. So at this core fear, how do you take it apart? There are three aspects of this fear of rejection. It's the fear, first of all, of being found out. That somehow we're fake, that we're not what we pretend to be, or we purport to be, or promote ourselves to be. Here's out of Genesis 3. You know the story of God creating Adam and Eve, and God saying to them, you know what, they were naked and unashamed, by the way. And you can enjoy all the garden except this one tree. They fall by disobeying and rebelling against God. And when God now comes to have fellowship with them, which is what they had always done, it says that Adam says, I heard you coming and I didn't want you to see me naked. And God says, who told you you were naked? And now shame becomes the daily diet of humans. And let me ask you this question. After about, let's just say 6,000 to 8,000 years, has it changed much? No, not really. Even in the wireless, wallless, worn out world, even in this beautiful world where we can see oppression being thrown off by watching CNN, when we can see the human heart yearning to be free, where it has never been free, we still have this sense of I have secrets. There's a part of me I don't want you to ever know, because if you really knew me, and if I were ever really naked before you, heart, mind, and soul, you wouldn't like me very much. It's a fear, secondly, of being singled out. Singled out of, you know, I mean, have you ever had the humiliation of not being picked for the team? The humiliation of not being hired for the job? I mean, have you ever seen people get hired for stuff you know are uglier and dumber than you? Can I hear an amen? It ain't fair. What's that all about? Singled out, found out. What does God say? Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't it a shame? I mean, if I were a woman in this culture, I'd be irate. that somehow the definition of beauty is so skinny, if you turn sideways, you'd look like a flagpole. Tall, skinny, thin, long hair, whatever. Isn't it sad? I mean, let's be honest. Come on. Now. You do whatever you want to do. It's none of my business. But isn't it sad that in our culture, we have told women, you got to cut up your body and augment your body in some way to prove to us you're a woman. God help us. You say, well, Dave, that's none of your business. You're right. It isn't. But I have to tell you, I see the sadness that gets rolled into that kind of behavior. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. You know, there's always something I'm lacking. Right. You know why? Because I'm a human being, not a human doing. I'm messy. I'm messed up. At the core of my soul is the fear of being found out and singled out and also shut out. That somehow I'm, you know, I mean, the fear that, you know, one day I'm not going to have any place to live or anything to eat, this fear of being abandoned. Listen to the result of Adam and Eve. God says, in the day you eat of that tree, you will die. It says, surely die. In the Hebrew, that's an idiom which literally can mean die dead. Now, I don't know how you can be deader than dead. But God says, in that day, you will die dead. Now, the grace of God is the response to the rebellion of our first parents by not executing that promise. They did not die dead. They died immediately in their spirit, progressively in their soul, and ultimately in their body. And death in the body as it is now is as much a relief as it is a punishment. I mean, I want to live as long as I can, but there is sometimes in life when it's time to go home. So they were banished. Listen to this. So the Lord banished him, Adam, forever from the Garden of Eden, sent him out of the farm, the ground from which he had been taken. Thus God expelled him and replaced mighty angels at the east of the garden, which is over right now around Iran and Iraq, with flaming sword to guard the entrance of the tree of life. And since from that moment, we have been on a journey back home. The great thing about it is that the end of the Bible tells us that ultimately we're going to all get home. We're going to arrive at that city whose builder and maker is God. There will be no need of the sun, for he will be the light. We will know him. He will know us. He will dwell among us, and we will be his people. Isn't it interesting that the Bible begins with a marriage and ends with a marriage? So these fears, how do you respond to these core fears? Singled out, found out, shut out. There are two ways to deal with rejection. One, whatever I uncover, God will cover. Whatever I uncover, God will cover. Listen to this, Hebrews 4. He knows about everyone, everywhere, everything about us. It is bare and wide open for all seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him to whom we must explain all that we have done. Whatever we uncover, God will cover. Whatever we cover, God will uncover. That's the promise of God. So what are the secrets? What are the secret sins? What are the things that you've done? What are the things that you're engaged in that you've covered up? And you're afraid that one day the curtain is going to be pulled back and you're going to be exposed. You've been following the latest tirade of Charlie Sheen? Several years ago, this would make me mad. Now it just makes me sad. When I hear him screaming in this tirade, I see myself. Isn't that how we are? We have this false bravado, but yet being blind to our own sin, our own brokenness. It's easy for me to look at y'all and see how messed up you are. But it's really difficult for me to look at the mirror and truly see myself as I am. There's only one person who knows me as I have seen the dirty, nasty underbelly. And that's my God. And he says, David, I love you. Sin, warts, and all. Amen? You may be bald, but you're my bald boy from Barron County. Whatever I uncover. See, it's a great thing I can live without secrets from God. I had to tell you, and I indulge me for a second, but as we're celebrating our 39th wedding anniversary, we're trying to think, God, 39 years, man. I mean, when we got married, the Dead Sea was just sick. That's a long time, isn't it? That's about as twice as long as some of you've been alive. And one thing we were able to say, God being our helper, and we looked at each other's eyes on that day, we have kept our promises. Amen. Feels good to live with someone who knows everything about you and loves you anyway. I think one of the reasons God gave us marriage is to mirror in our lives the love of God in the heart and the eyes of another person. That you can truly uncover. You don't have to live with secrets and lies. You can come clean. Here's the second part of that. And that is whatever I confess, God will not just forgive, but convert. If we confess our sins, he can be depended upon to forgive us and to cleanse us. Not just forgive us, but to change us. And this is perfectly proper for God to do for this to us because Christ died to wash away our sins. You see, God specializes in bringing beauty out of broken things. When we confess, we release God to come into our lives and convert our darkness, our sin, and our shame by his grace and his love. The good thing about God's love is when it finds us, it loves us as we are, but loves us enough to not leave us where it found us. He gives us a new heart and a new soul and a new joy and a new dream. And he says, I've created you for a big, bold, better life than what you've known. Go out and live it. How you doing?
Still in one piece.
Still in one piece. Good. There's one person right over here awake. Somebody go over and take another offering over there, please. There are three pillars of our peace. Of our still in one piece. One, first pillar is I'm accepted. Therefore, I'm confident. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Proverbs 28, the wicked flee when no one is chasing them, but the godly are bold as lions, strutting our stuff. Got a little attitude. Can you just see Jesus walking down the road? Limp wristed, blue, blonde head, wearing a bathrobe. Saying, be nice. Y'all be nice. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there today? He cleansed the temples. The temple. And the disciples saying, Jesus, calm down. Jesus. Get off the Starbucks, Jesus. What's the matter with you? You're ruining your testimony. Really? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there today? The day when the woman was caught in adultery and brought to him and he bent down and spit on the ground? Jesus, spit! I'm sorry. I think that's cool. He hocked a loogie. And he said, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus needed to go to Sunday school. He needed some manners training, right? Nice, sweet Jesus. Jesus squared shoulder to shoulder with Satan and spit in his eye. He went to hell and rescued those held captive. Oh yeah. My Jesus kicked butt. He knew that it was better to come up out of a grave than to come down off of a cross. And why did he do it? In order to win my soul. What's it worth to me? Not much. What's it worth to him? The cross. He accepts me in Christ. I'm redeemed and reconciled to my God. And one day, my life and your life together will be fully restored to God's full intention. This is the confidence that we have. Now, I tell you what I don't have. I don't have certainty. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I just have confidence that God will be there ahead of it. I'm accepted. I'm confident. I'm not certain. I'm confident. And stop and say, oh, God, just tell me what to do, Lord. If you just tell me what to do, I'd do it. No, you wouldn't. Have you ever said, oh, God, I just want your best in my life and all hell break loose and you don't understand why? Oh, Lord, I didn't mean to disrupt my comfort. God called me to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I'm telling you, I don't know what God will do. He may let us go through suffering. He may let your father have cancer. He may not raise up your daughter. But I know this, that he will always be who he is and do what he does. And in your life, if you are accepted in Jesus Christ, you can be confident that he will always do the most generous, loving thing in your life, no matter what the circumstances may try to reveal. You have to make a decision at some point. Are you going to live with a God defined by your circumstances, or are you going to live with your circumstances defined by God? And the day that your God is bigger than the string of events in your life is a day you will walk with boldness. I'm accepted, man. You may not like me, and that wouldn't make me happy. I'm not... Anyone who says, I don't care what people think of me, is lying. I do. There are a lot. I mean, I don't want people to think I'm a jerk. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be unkind. But at some point, you have to quote the book of Romans. If God is for me, who gives a rip? Who stands against me? And here's the interesting thing. I'm sorry about this, but some of the people who will give you the biggest trouble are related to you. I mean, the chairman of the Cold Water Committee could be your mama because your mama knows you're a dud, right? God love my mom and daddy, but you know, there was nothing I wanted to do with my life that they didn't think, well, you know what, maybe you shouldn't do that. I remember my dad came down when I graduated from seminary. That means 7 years of torture. You're right? My dad, I'm a tool and dime maker. I worked my way and loved it. It was so much fun. My dad told me the night I graduated from seminary, he said, son, you better keep that tool and die stuff up. This preaching thing may not work. Daddy, go home. You know what I'm talking about, right? They love you, but you know what? You know, when it comes time to, you know, helping you see yourself as God does, they're clueless. So I'm telling you, I'm ordained, bros. And sisses. God told me to tell you that in Jesus Christ, you are more than enough. He created you just like he wants you to be. Now, you can grow and be a better you. Amen? But the you are is the you he wanted you to be. I'm accepted, therefore I'm confident. Second, I am adopted, therefore I'm courageous. I love this out of Ephesians 1. We're going to talk about predestination, election on Friday morning Bible study. Some of you are going to leave there going, I hate you, David. It's okay. God will forgive you. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through Christ. Now just stop a minute and let your brain expand to that. You mean to tell me before that anything was, God knew my name? Yep. Before the Milky Way? Yep. Before the earth? Yep. Before the oceans? Yep. Before the snail darter? Yep. He decided then, before anything was made, before you ever existed, to make you holy in his eyes without a single fault. And we who stand before him covered with his love, whatever I uncover, he will what? Cover. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because? Oh, there's got to be a better reason than that. God died for me because I'm special. I've met some special people, haven't you? God needed to die for these people. Why did Jesus love me? I don't know. They didn't tell me in seminary. I was absent that day. Can I confess a demon? Apollo should give you a volume on this. I have absolutely no doubt about everything I'm saying that it's true for you. But I'm not quite sure it's true for me. And that ain't no fun, right? I have no trouble believing this for all of you. But when it comes to me, I'm adopted. God saw me, loved me, moved to me, redeemed me because I'm from Barron County. I mean, when the settlers have risked life and limb, and they finally get to your place and say, what do you want to name it? And they name it Barron? I don't know. That's not inspiring to me. Is it you? And yet I'm a bald-headed boy from Barron County, and God has chosen me. I am elect. I'm adopted. What does that mean? Here's the third one. I have access. I am accepted. I am adopted. I have access. Therefore, I am committed. So let us come boldly to the very throne of grace and stay there to receive his mercy. You have, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have total access into the holy holies of God. You can go boldly to the throne and tell him what you want, how you feel. Say, God, if there's a list of people you want God to get, just tell him who it is. You've got a list of people that you want God to get. You might as well tell him who it is, because he already knows. And here's my last teaching. As I'm accepted and adopted, and I have access, when I come before the throne, I never want to come with a list of those who hurt me. Because this is what I've learned. Hear me now, believe me later. Whatever you and I take personally, God won't. What we simply refuse to be bitter and angry about, if we refuse not to take it personally, God will. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to work through the Holy Spirit of God, the truth, into the lives of these amazing men and women. And they are amazing. There is more talent, more creativity, more power, more ability in this room to change the world than any of us ever dare imagine. We don't feel that way because we're constantly trying to cover up. God, give us the confidence. Give us the courage and give us the commitment to live openly and boldly the life for which we were created. Let us in God's name be done with pettiness and sin and the dark things. Let us live our life in the light as our Savior is in the light. I pray that you will bless your people financially. I pray, Father, for someone who's in a desperate strait for a job. I ask you not to give them a job, give them a calling. I pray for couples in this place that feel like their marriage is over, that you will resurrect those feelings, resurrect these relationships, resurrect these men and women and fill them with boldness and bless them and make them mighty. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How you doing? Go get them.